Kyle Overkill.
It's pretty good. What is that guy's name?
He's is he Guy Pardo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone has that impersonation. The banner. Breaking news.
I love that banner so much. I love
Invasion. Wait, what?
Did I spell it right?
No, you did.
I didn't?
No, you did.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
No, dude, you're a professional. What are you talking about? So, podcast colleague, friend, brother in arms, I have a question for you. Are you a dirty, stinking Skrull?
I mean, it's... No, not at all.
Wait, that's just what a Skrull would say.
Yeah, I don't even know. Something we've talked about for a while, I think, just like, I don't know, this event, the Secret Invasion event, has like always interested me, or kind of been like, like part of my comic experience, because it was around, I'm trying to think of it. No, I was reading parts of Civil War, and I think World War Hulk was like the one I bought single issues of. But this was the one I kind of went like hot and heavy into.
Totally the same. After a long break, actually, I had taken a long break from comics. And then the comics that I would sort of like kind of dive in on, I wasn't a snotty wine drinking graphic novel, but like most of the stuff I was looking at was indie, versus like the big two. I've been really burned. So I checked in on a little bit of Civil War. And then it was not Secret Invasion, but the New Avengers, which kind of pulled me back into reading a monthly book. I was really kind of having fun with the New Avengers. And the point at which I jumped in was what we'll talk about today. It's like the hijinks with the hand and the big reveal that a fan favorite character was not who we thought they were. And then, like, so I was there for the ground floor and the ramp up. And I think, like you're saying, man, the ramp up to Secret Invasion was flawless.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where, so for our like conversation, I know this time we're going to kind of do the pre-invasion, the prelude. Then we're going to talk about the events, and maybe we'll do like a third one on kind of a wrap up and some like Dark Reign stuff, because like I feel like there's the event kind of breaks into those three parts.
Yeah.
Not only in the actual like event arc, but like the quality of or my interest and what I wanted out of it.
Although while we were doing the research for this episode, I had forgotten that like a bookend, or not a bookend, a coda to this was the War of Kings, I did dig. I thought that was a nice. It was a nice. It took a main plot point from the story and then broke it off in a new way that was great. And I love those guys, Abnett and Lanning. I think I love their sci-fi portion of the Marvel U.
Yeah, and I think I don't know how we like the kind of history with it was. Was that like, I don't remember if I didn't know about it until what is the New Avengers one? Is it, it's 31, right?
I think so. Hold on, I have it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
So I was trying to find any sort of coverage online prior to it, because at that point like I was reading comics and I was like occasionally checking like CBR or something, but I was nowhere near like where I'm at now, where like a year out we know things, and I don't know if that's what the like I don't know if the, what the landscape of comics was like then. I can't remember. I don't I know for me, and maybe it was because I was on like the fringe and I was just getting back into it, like I was reading speculation stuff and I was reading like Bendis interviews where he was like hinting at things. So I went back, I went and reread all of New Avengers. I read Mighty Avengers. I read Avengers Initiative. Academy.
Academy.
Yeah. And I reread Civil War, Secret War.
Let me ask you, do you want to, because I feel like I feel like this is the Secret Invasion is the turning point where like the debris from Civil War got kind of like, I feel like the first 20 some odd issues of Avengers, New Avengers, is them like, even in throughout half the stuff we're reading in Secret Invasion there, it's the fallout from like who's on what side and blah, 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 blah. And it feels like after this, that are, you know, like, there's this sort of weird redemption, not a redemption arc, there's a weird double heel turn for Norman Osborn. Like the question of who's on what side isn't a big deal anymore. But then this new issue of like who is evil, who is not evil, starts to become a bigger like the focus shifts. So do you want to, do you think there are any salient points from Civil War to just set the table for what's about to come?
Oh, did we freeze a little?
You did for a second, but you're back for me.
Okay. Yeah, was there, I don't know if there was a question at the end that you asked.
Oh, just were there any salient points from the Civil War that you think set the table for where we're at right now?
I mean, I think they tried to do that. From what I was reading, like interviews, Bendis seemed like he went pretty hard on like trying to make sure fans didn't feel like upset with Secret Invasion, like, oh, we were undercutting Civil War. Because like you could easily then explain Civil War away with the idea that like Tony was a Skrull the whole time. And it's something they touch on in New Avengers and Mighty Avengers. And like I think he kind of hammered home like, you know, those events are what they are. It does feel like it, I don't know. Secret Invasion feels like a quick fix for Tony.
Right.
Like, how do we, at this point, we have a movie where Tony is our biggest, because it was 2008. So that would have been, at that point, we would have been in Iron Man territory. Like, so let's not make him the worst person in the Marvel U. And like, we don't have, at this point, we don't have Cap. We don't really have anybody. So like, it kind of puts him in the forefront post that. But I don't, the Marvel, like, what was so interesting about this is like, the landscape was kind of at a, like, I enjoyed Civil War. I thought that was something interesting. It doesn't stick to landing, but I don't think most events do. But, like, you know, it was something different. And then it brought about, I enjoyed Avengers Academy a lot. I enjoyed Iron Man, Director of S.H.I.E.L.D., is that what it was called?
Yeah.
And, like, I enjoyed, New Avengers was great. And then you had, like, Thunderbolts, the Warren Ellis
run. Yeah, I was very tickled on Thunderbolts. Like, that's my whole thing is the private light, or the, you know, the other side of comics, you know, how villains do their thing. And I thought Thunderbolts is a great conceit, because you get to sort of spend time with that. Like, there's only so many ways you can make the villains the protagonists, and usually they're not fun the way that they, you know, like they're redeemed, or they're, you know, like, but like Thunderbolts, kind of, you could play both sides of the net with their premise. I mean, I like it for the first, I'd say, five or six issues. I didn't stay with them for the whole run.
Yeah, I remember that big thing with that was a bunch of that was Diodato art.
Yeah. Who I like. I don't know if he's
He's one. I mean, I think we've talked about. He's one who, like, I look at his pencils and they look amazing, and then like, I don't know if it's him. Sometimes it's not him inking it. Like, is like, this looks really dark and gross sometimes. I think pencil wise, like, I think his structure and his page layouts are great.
I think he's great. I think you're right. I think he suffers maybe from taking on too many assignments, maybe. But like when he's focused, he's focused and, like you said, under the right inking circumstances, super great.
Yeah. So it kicks off with, I think what we referenced is 31 is the big reveal, which is interesting that it happens in New Avengers, which makes sense for kind of Bendis running the helm, but kind of I like that it was out of nowhere and it was following up like the Hand arc, which was really interesting. Like, I thought that was one of the better arcs.
I have two thoughts on that. One, I like the Hand arc. I think the Hand arc is like a love letter to Kill Bill Volume 1, because it's, I want to say it's one solid issue and then another issue and a half of like ninja fighting, which is, who doesn't, and not just ninja fighting, but like ninja fighting against ninja hordes from your favorite ninja fighters, like Logan. And but I also kind of think, like, if there wasn't the reveal, is there, what's the climax of that story if it isn't the Skrull? You know what I mean? Like, because in a way, it's doing that thing that I think Psycho, the movie Psycho, does, where you're a little bit into the movie and you're kind of a little lulled because you're like, oh, this is, you know, suspenseful, but like, and then like something really intense happens that snaps you out of it.
Yeah. Well, it's also weird because, I mean, she happens to be a Skrull, so that like absolves Echo of just straight up like murdering Electra. I feel like majority of the people there would have an issue with Spider-Man and who's with them? I think Ronan.
Yeah, it's Ronan, Spider-Man, Spider-Woman,
Strange,
Doctor Strange, and Echo. Is there anyone else? Oh, Luke Cage.
Okay, yeah. Like, I feel like they would have a qualm with her just straight murking her, but she lucked out. She's a Skrull. That was exciting. Also, because again, I didn't, maybe that was how to read comics, and maybe that's where like comics is ruined for me now, is like, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know where it was going. And the idea of that was so exciting. Like, I thought, and this is like kind of where the prelude and the buildup is really exciting. And I almost wish it went for a lot longer, because it feels like the jump from there to issue one, while it's less than a year, because I think issue 31 is like June 13th, and then Secret Invasion number one, is it January? I'll look it up quick. Secret Invasion 1 is April 2nd, 2008. So a little less than a year of like kind of build up from there.
Yeah, and I would say two things on that. One, I think it would, like, something we can do as we go through is like an alternate timeline of what would be nice if they had done it slightly differently. Like, I think if there had been like maybe a year's worth of speculation on who the different infiltrators were, like a tone that they set nicely, that I think is one of the more successful things about the series early on, is that paranoia. But it's only like one and two issues before, like, you know, and then it falls into that kind of frustrating, like, every book has one, you know, so then it's like, pick the one that it is, you know, like it, it, it like it, it, If you had like a more diffuse sense of paranoia throughout the entire Marvel universe, a thing that they say in that issue, the hand issue, it's kind of a throwaway line because I think Luke Cage is stalling. And he kind of like, everything's kind of upside down. Like you're leading the hand and like the Avengers are broken up and Cap's missing. And, you know, like all these sort of like all the main pillars that support the Marvel universe have been kind of upset, which is true. And I think we're led to believe that Secret Invasion is the reason why, like the strings are being pulled by these infiltrators. So like that sense of like paranoia was like Bendis was laying into it from like from almost the jump. If you listen, if you believe his theory or his, you know, he says from the jump. House of M, that's a lot to juggle, but we'll get to that when we get to that.
Yeah, no, that's the tough part is like, I'm trying to think about it as someone who hasn't read Secret Invasion and a follow-up. Cause even looking back at interviews, I had one from CBR that was, I think, was right after the reveal. Yeah, so 6/14/2007. So this was like the week 31 dropped. They interviewed him about it. And he's talking about kind of, they were asking him like, you know, how long has this been in the works? And he saw, you saw glimpses of it in New Avengers number one with a shadowy figure on the second page. I don't think they ever addressed like that. I mean, again, that's jumping ahead, but like, that was like the shit. Like, I was like, oh fuck. Like this, like, okay, I gotta go back and read it. I gotta go back and like, look at what everyone was saying. Like, who is like worth questioning? Like, what were they talking about? And like, he does like such a great job of kind of laying the groundwork for that. Like, so issue 32, the following one, when they're on their plane back and trying to figure out what to do with this scroll and like the next steps, and they're talking about how they can't trust each other, and they're kind of going through like you said, kind of, you know, at this point the Marvel universe is like really weird, and there's like reasons why any of them could be Skrulls, like even Wolverine calling out like, you know, I could be one, like how many teams am I on, and like all that shit was like so interesting. And I wanted like more of that. I mean, again, we got like almost a year's worth ish
no
comics is good, but like I wanted like, you know, 5 issues of like them, you know, not going to Tony and figuring out like what to do, what could it be?
Yeah, and I think that might have been the initial premise, that it would be, you know, it feels like the ambition of the series was maybe a little bigger than what they got to pull off. And they also, another part of it, like I think if you look at it in the hugest sense, where you have Civil War, then you have Secret Invasion, and then you have the Dark Reign and the sort of post Civil War period. I guess if you look at it in that sense, like it tells a large arc. But for this particular piece of it, I think if you had maybe a year or so of occupation, in the same way that at the end of it you have like a year or so of Norman Osborn being this weird leader of the free world,
right?
But you know, like if the occupation had lasted a little longer than because they resolved that really quickly and I think very unsatisfyingly, like the not sticking the landing thing, I think applies to Secret Invasion too, where they set up so much stuff and that it is really, really, really fun, and then don't really do the like the enjoyable work of then not, you know, then pulling, you know, those levers back.
Yeah, and I mean, when we go into the event, that's kind of where I think my issues with it are. And again, like going into it, like I think I look fondly back on it. I still think it's something I enjoy, especially this, again, the build up, which, so like, well, Marvel has it outlined as New Avengers 31, which is the reveal. Why? Yeah, this jump is weird. I'm looking at their timeline, which I don't feel is... ostensibly, you have that. You have their plane ride back, which is interrupted by
Spider-Woman.
Yeah, I will say that's the very interesting thing is obviously going into it knowing, you know, that she is the queen.
She's the big one.
Yeah, I don't. I told you I found the most I could find was like some random guy's blog about like who he thought Skrulls were, and like never once mentioned Spider-Woman. Like he was, because I mean I was the same way. He was on like the blue eyes theory and all that shit.
Well, hold on. But, can I pause you there? Because yeah, was the Spider-Woman reveal surprising to you?
Yeah, I think it was. I'm trying to remember at the time, but I'm pretty sure. You know, I might have thought she was one, but I definitely didn't think.
Oh no! I two things. I think Spider-Woman was kind of a fan favorite. I think she was definitely kind of like one of the central characters on New Avengers. I think Bendis likes her because Jessica Jones is kind of Spider-Woman,
right?
So like I think he's always liked Jessica Drew in whatever version he's like, whether it's the real one or his ersatz version. And it shows because I think she's central in the story. She's like, is it Lanelle?
Yeah.
Who does the art? Like she's amazing. She's gorgeous. She's like one of the most beautiful women in Marvel. And I think she's a likable character. She has this like this backstory and this history with Captain America that this very convoluted history of playing all the different sides. She's an easy to like character. And she was my favorite of the new Avengers. So when, like, I think it was like at the end of the second or the first or second, I can't remember exactly, the first or second Secret Origin or Secret Invasion crossover in Avengers when she is revealed, I like lost it. Like, I could not, but I was like, no, they cannot, her, like someone useless like Iron Man, like not, you can't, not Spider-Woman. Right. I like, it got me. After that, my summer was ruined. Who can you trust?
And I think that's like one of the best reveals is because I think the way Bendis plays it is he almost plays against like his type or his like style, where I thought it was going to be a story written through her, like she was kind of be our, right, our person to follow in it, because I mean that's kind of, when you're looking at kind of the prelude stuff, like her being a part of that and then making the decision that, you know, we have to take it to Tony, essentially steals the body and takes it to Tony and joins Mighty Avengers, like flipping sides, which like looking back, like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Like, but like, I was like, okay, this is Bendis's way of kind of feeding the story through us. And she's going to be kind of our eyes and ears going into the event, maybe kind of a star of it, and then pulling that back. And I mean, she is the star of it, I guess, in a way, but...
Well, yeah, she gets to be... she's the most important character on both sides.
And I think that leads into, I think, what is the next big and I think maybe most effective reveal outside of her is... the shit that I ate up as well. I love the Illuminati stuff.
Well, let me pause you there. Do we want to? So the timeline is.
Yep.
On a hand adventure, the Avengers, the new Avengers, the subgroup of Avengers who did not join up with the Mutant Registration Act or whatever it is, superhero registration order, they have the body of this Skrull. For whatever reason, Logan can't identify, like with his super enhanced senses and smelling, he can't tell the difference between Elektra and the Skrull. So they are not sure what to do with it and begin to worry like, oh, this could be bigger than just this one rando. Spider-Woman takes off with the body and does that tee up? She takes the body to Iron Man and then Iron Man takes it to the Illuminati. And Kyle, who are the Illuminati?
Yeah, and Illuminati are Elon Musk. No, it's Tony. It is the, and then that, like, as someone who's like super into like conspiracy stuff, like I love the idea of the Marvel having that, but it is ostensibly like kind of the major players of like kind of each house Marvel. So it's Tony Stark, Professor X, Namor, Black Bolt, Doctor Strange, and Mr. Fantastic. So you kind of get like major players in all kind of realms of Marvel.
If there was a Trivial Pursuit piece, they're each of the different Trivial Pursuit slices.
Yeah. And the way Bendis kind of works them in is very Grant Morrison-y, I think. One of his like more like out, I think with Bendis, he's very kind of street level, and you know, he focuses a lot on dialogue, maybe too much, and like you really think of him as like the, you know, the famous thing is like the million panels on a page and all the people looking at the camera talking to each other. So I think Illuminati is like one of his most unique things outside of, you know, like the Ultimate Spider-Man stuff, where really taking the Marvel history and kind of working that into a story. So like post Kree Skrull War, the Illuminati, or at this point, those at that point makes sense. Like the heads of kind of the big people of the Marvel U at that point get together and go confront the Skrulls. Tell them, like, you know, back off, like Earth is, you know, under our protection, don't do it again. And what I think what they end up escalating it, and they blow up, or no, Black Bolt blows up essentially a majority of their fleet, correct?
Yes. And I think they're on a secret, they're on a like a reconnaissance mission. I'm a little unclear on this part. Is the Skrull homeworld destroyed at this point?
I don't think they're, I think it's later where Galactus comes.
Because I think they infiltrate the Skrull homeworld. I might be wrong on that. And then they get caught. And when they're caught, each of them are experimented on. And what we don't, I think, fully realize is that, like, through this experimentation, Skrulls are developing a better, more effective way to impersonate, particularly, like, these Marvel humans. Like previously, like, you know, the Skrulls were not easy to spot, but you know, like a couple easy tricks, and then, you know, they would rubbery face back to being Skrulls. But these Skrulls were a conceit of the story is that they're undetectable. Doctor Strange can't detect them, Logan can't detect them, Mr. Fantastic can't detect them through science. Like, there's no, any of the normal catches don't work with these new Skrulls, which means they are truly sleeper agents. Like, there's no way to go around while we know that they're out there and start detecting who they are, because they're undetectable, which is, I think, like, that's a Battlestar Galactica idea, but grafts on wonderfully into this with these characters.
Right. Well, and I think what an interesting idea is, so the big thing, I think that, so that's issue one of Illuminati, which I think is a great issue.
Totally. It's the first issue of Secret Invasion. I don't, like, they call it Illuminati one, but like it's the kickoff. It's like,
yeah. Interesting about that is, like, it doesn't really, like, when you read that, it doesn't play as like, that's something. Again, like, when you got to that point, you can look back, like, that was really interesting where you could see where that was going. But so it kind of ends where they escape, and the Skrull King or Emperor or whatever, like, hinting at, we got what we needed from them. And then, like, they don't touch it for four issues. But, like, kind of what you're talking about, the undetectable stuff is obviously kind of a story conceit, which is needed, but a cool idea is that they explore later on, and probably my favorite thing out of Secret Invasion is the Captain Marvel. Is it Brian Reed?
Yeah, Brian Reed's writing on those issues.
Yeah,
on the Marvel run. Yeah,
I think four issues is like so good. It's So the idea is that part of the reason they can't detect them is they've ostensibly implanted them with, they think like, not only are they have the powers and look like the person, they think like the person, they have the memories of the person. So like reading their minds makes them undetectable.
Oh, that's right. Professor X can't figure them out either. Yeah.
He had Black Bolt's thoughts. So, you know, obviously that's a cool conceit for why, like, you know, someone like Professor X can't find them. But then, again, that's kind of something maybe post covering the main thing, talking about some of the standouts. I think the Captain Marvel thing where they explore that idea where he's a Skrull who thought he was Captain Marvel and doesn't want to be a Skrull, and that whole kind of like thing was really interesting. I don't want to go like in case we do talk about it, but so then when they pick back up and it's the final issue of Illuminati, it's post getting the Elektra body, Elektra Skrull.
Skrull Elektra.
Yeah, like just again, I remember Illuminati being like in itself like an event thing for me. Like I look forward to every issue because like everyone was like this big thing. And it's the one where they deal with Marvel Boy, like what are we gonna do with this guy? And like that was super interesting. But to have it kind of start off with them coming together post Civil War and really not trusting each other, but then also like then dealing with that, and then it just kind of kicks off with, I thought the reveal of Black Bolt was really great. And then especially like you said, kind of coming off of like War of Kings and where he was at with that. And I don't know, that's like the talking about like pre-Secret Invasion is really like exploring where everything was at prior. I mean, we talked about Civil War, but then even you look at like they have Hulk out of commission because we just had World War Hulk. So like,
yeah,
you have that kind of situation. You have, what was I going to talk about? Nick Fury's off the map because of Secret War, which Bendis did. And then it's brilliantly kind of built into what he does with, well, Hickman really does with Secret Warriors, but like, at least I could say like at that point, they were really smart about using like the benefits of where everyone was kind of at in the Marvel universe and having it play into it. Again, kind of would have liked it to settle a little more, but I get why you can't.
No, I think, and also I think to go back to Black Bolt. So for any of the Illuminati to be infiltrated is a big deal, because these are like the most powerful people in the Marvel universe. And the loss of any one of them is a big deal. But I think in particular, you know, Iron Man is still just a person. Namor, although a very powerful mutant, is a mutant. Professor X is, although a very powerful mutant, just a mutant. But like, Black Bolt is more akin to like a god. So for like, in theory, one of the biggest and most powerful of them to be the one that somehow the Skrulls were able to abscond with, like that was they're sort of all hashing it out. They're sort of discussing why they can't trust each other, and they're also trying to figure out like, hey, whoa, what is this new problem? These are Skrulls we can't figure out. And then in the midst of this, Black Bolt reveals himself. Now the Skrull that infiltrates Black Bolt is a Super Skrull. Is it the Super Skrull, or is it just like a? I can't remember which one he is.
I always forget, because I don't even know. The Super Skrull does appear in this, but I don't think he's never in the direct story.
Yeah, he's not and also I think the Skrull unit.
I don't think so, because Namor kills him, right? Yeah.
The Skrull itself. Yeah. But he's got Super Skrull powers, where he's got like usually they have like the four Fantastic Four, you know, like one arm's on fire and the other's a thing arm and blah blah blah. I think he had like a little bit of that. But in either case, we get the drop that Black Bolt has been infiltrated, and it's more sinister. I think it's great. Like, it's a great escalation, because sort of like the reveal with Elektra is, oh, what's going on with these Skrulls? And then that then gets like, oh shit, it's worse than, like, if it can be Black Bolt, it can be any. There is no corner of the Marvel universe that isn't susceptible. You know, like, the Inhumans are on the moon still at this point.
Yeah, because I think once the event kicks off, that's one of the places that gets attacked. There's like,
oh, right.
A series of attacks that go off. Part of Secret Invasion, I think the Inhumans tie-in is Medusa looking for Black Bolt.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of them laying the seeds for where, like, these Skrulls are at. With the idea was the Illuminati, is they got the genetics from these heroes, and like prior, the Super Skrull was like the ultimate Skrull, where he had the powers of the Fantastic Four. But they create Skrulls that can have any powers. Yeah. Of anybody, and multiple ones. And that, I think they comment on that, because after they kill Black Bolt Skrull, I think two others come. And yeah, apparently Tony can just set off nukes. Let's see. Has that.
Do you want to pause here? All right, I'm going to be a bad Marvel guy and say that my knowledge of the Kree Skrull war goes to knowing that there were Krees and Skrulls and they're at war for the entire history of the Marvel's, you know, comics. But I don't know much about that conflict. I know that it connects a lot to Marvel, to Captain Marvel, the guy and the girl,
who
is now, she's still Captain Marvel, right?
Who? Oh, and this
Carol. She's Carol Dan. What do you like, Carol Danvers?
Yeah, I think for the most part. I mean, obviously, it kind of depends where, like, what part of history you're talking about.
Yeah, she's a. I feel like, if you don't mind. I like Ms. Marvel, Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel. I think she's a fun character. My entry to her has always been through the X-Men, because she's sort of like the other half of the Rogue equation. And like a lot of Rogue story has to do with Captain Marvel. She's a Captain Marvel villain, and she accidentally absorbs Captain Marvel, which kind of, for the most part, kills her. But then she sort of enters the second phase where she's binary, who's like a member of the Star Jammers, who are space pirates. And then, like, ultimately they bring her sort of back into the fold, and so she's got this long history in the Marvel universe, and they, for one reason or another, do not really ever let her go entirely. But they also have, for long periods at different junctures with her, not knowing what to do with her. I remember when the Avengers relaunched during the Busiek and Perez era, like, she was super, super powerful, but kind of maybe had a drinking problem.
Yeah, they she had a drinking problem, and they essentially kicked her off the team. And she's insufferable to read.
Oh no, I think she's a hard, like, you have so many characters that are in her mold that she's just another sort of well-motivated, nice, super powerful woman. So of course you want to sort of give her some texture to have her in variance to the other strong women characters that are on that, like, you know, on that team. But on the same token, like, when Tony Stark kicks you off the Avengers for being a drunk. I think a lot of people reacted against that. And then I think they sort of like rehabbed her. And I think like the, what's his name? Is it Brian? It's not Brian Wood. Who is writing her during these?
Oh, Brian Reed. I think it's the same one. Yeah.
I think he kind of like, we start to get sort of closer to where we are now with her. But so she's sort of a product of Kree science. Krees and Skrulls have been fighting forever.
I think the like I mean, I've read the Kree-Skrull War. It's been a while. I think the idea is the Kree, because they made the Inhumans and they have kind of fucked with Earth, and the Skrulls, I don't remember why, but they view Earth as rightfully theirs.
Which so is the heart of the secret invasion, is it? It's not an invasion to them. It's they think it's their planet.
Yeah, and prior to the invasion, their homeworld was destroyed by Galactus, There's like two splinter groups, and that was like another interesting thing, and that doesn't get explored until the main story, but kind of the motivations behind it, which I do like, and something we can talk about later, is like the he loves you stuff. Really into, and finding out that it isn't like the Skrull race. It's this like
super orthodox sect.
Yeah, like this evangelical, like really kind of religious, like they view like the Skrulls are like the priests and stuff. Like that idea was interesting. So I think that was like there's two splinter groups, and then she kind of wants to claim that as Earth is the new Skrull world. So I think that's the general idea as to why, and that's the other like kind of prelude issue that's not covered in the Marvel timeline, but the Ms. Marvel has like build up issues, because I think early on they think she's a Skrull, and she runs in, like she has interactions with Captain Marvel, who is a Skrull, but he doesn't know that at the point. It's in those issues I think he finds out he confronts a Skrull, or he finds one, and I think before he kills him, before he's taken away, he tells Captain Marvel, "You're not Captain Marvel."
But I think that's that's the T. Which Terminator movie was it? Was it Genesis or maybe T3, where the guy doesn't even know he's a robot.
That's Salvation. Is that the one in the future?
Yeah.
Christian Bale, where he's just yelling the whole time.
I always love that kind of, because I think that there's a little bit of I think that ties into you know, like modern anxieties, because I think there is like that TV show The Americans, where like you have splinter groups and cells that implant so deeply that they, you know, like it's not like brainwashing exactly, but they you know, it's like nesting dolls. There's a true version and then all these exterior versions, and which is the accurate or the authentic version. I think about I think the 21st century is fascinated with two things, like artificial intelligence, and then artificial intelligence kind of points to what is humanity. And I think that this is a little less in the artificial intelligence vein, but it's definitely in the like what makes you true. Is it who you truly are, or is it this simulated? So speaking of Skrulls, you know, like are you the product of simulated memories? And then I think Captain, I wish that's another thing in the parallel secret invasion. I wish they had maybe had a couple more, like within this sect of, because some of these people had been embedded for a long, long time. So if they had maybe had a little more, like who are the people who have embedded and are kind of like, oh, I actually kind of dig Earth people. Like, what we're doing is wrong.
And I think I'm trying to remember again, there's the Marvel, there's the Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel.
I think there is instances where there were people who, I can't remember if it was like a frontline thing, or maybe I'm thinking of, you know what, I am thinking of Invincible. I think that's it.
Oh, right.
I think
I think there's a in Secret Invasion. We for the preparation for this episode, we read a lot of the lead up stuff, but have not read. I haven't read yet the Secret Invasion proper. I read it in real time, but I haven't done the reread on it. I thought I would save that for when we do that conversation. But so I can't remember exactly, but I thought like in issue 4 or 5, there was a small either one or two people who were like, "No, I'm not down with this." Who pushed back? Is that right?
I think so. I'm trying to like. I will tell you one omnibus that is not. Say like, this thing's not helpful.
Is that the one that's just reprints of old Skrull appearances?
No, this is the actual
whole. Oh, event. The like one through six, or oh, the whole event.
It has a Secret Invasion prologue and Secret Invasion 1 through 8, New Avengers 31, 32, 39 through 49, Mighty Avengers 7, 12 through 20, Illuminati 1 and 5. But
how big is that?
It's like,
wow, you're gonna get biceps from that.
I mean, this overkill. Is like this thing's small compared to that Legion one I've been trying not to buy.
Oh, wait, you haven't gotten it?
Oh, man, I was like...
I'll get it. It's so good. Yeah, it's so good.
Well, right now, it's inside baseball stuff, but so on Target, I think it's like 80... It's like 86 or something, but they're running their circle... What is that called? The circle coupon shit? Their app coupons?
Yeah, yeah.
If you spend over $50 on... some item you get $10 off, so it would only be like 76, and I was like, how could I not buy it? But I also just I think my order this week was like
$90, yeah,
80 something, because a couple omnibuses came out this week. But anyway, yeah, that's I bought this one so I could get rid of the singles, and I haven't yet, so.
Yeah, I have the singles, and I have some of the, I kept some of the, hold on, let me, no, I cheapgraphicnovels.com has it on 35% off, but that's still 90.
Yeah.
So you're better off with the Target. But do get it, because it's like, that's some of my favorite comics. I reread it. I reread it when the omnibus came out, which I think was December or so last year. And like basically they hold up, they're so great. Either way, but back to this invasion.
Yeah. Well, they had their own that was in Legion. Which one was the DC has that like weird.
Oh, theirs was the Manhunter.
Infiltration.
No, it's Millennium. The Millennium event had Manhunters were impersonated. Like it's the worst, not as good version. Where every title has one imposter in it.
Oh, yeah.
But there's sort of like no lead up. And there's no, you know, like, I think because they sort of just had to chalk a character into the fire, they were, you know, like useless character, you know, like, oh my God, I'll get Jimmy Olsen hate if I say Jimmy Olsen, but it would be like the Jimmy Olsen, you know, like someone who's like not the main character. And
right.
Just, yeah, yeah. By the way, it wasn't Jimmy Olsen. Don't send letters.
Which I think that was like one of the things going into the event. And again, we can cover whether or not it pays off, but like, so like the Elektra reveal, like, okay, like to a lot of people, she's, you know, an important character. But yeah, that's not like a huge,
I think she's it's not like, a lead.
Yeah. And it's not like a huge loss. I think the interesting thing for picking Elektra was this stuff for the comic nerds where like the Hand, who are essentially like these demon ninjas, had no idea that she was a Skrull. So like it kind of like ups the level of interest there, but that's only for like super nerdy people, and they talk about it a little bit. But I think the Black Bolt was a big reveal. And then, I mean, the only other, like, one leading into that was what, maybe Dum Dum in the prelude, but that's not even a reveal. That's like a, an actual transition, which I thought that was another cool thing they did. The later on in New Avengers, where Echo goes out and runs into Daredevil, I thought that was a great issue, because it does a lot to kind of establish the tone and like the actual fear and like anxiety that I kind of wanted out of the event.
Anyone
could do it, and at any point you could be changed and you wouldn't know, and no one else would know.
Yeah. And I think that it also, cause you have like these tighter groups, like the Avengers is a great example, or the New Avengers is a great example, because they're a tighter unit within the sort of larger Avengers structure. You could say that they're sort of like a warring sibling with the, who are the Avengers? Is the Initiative is the, like, Tony Stark Avengers.
That's his the Mighty Avengers is his team. Right. And then there's the Initiative, which is like the 50 state.
That's right.
Every state gets a team.
The Mighty Avengers is sort of like the sanctioned group, and then the New Avengers are the like bootlegs, and they are in sort of conflict. But in the like in the Avengers bubble, you know, you've got like, you know, like, oh, can Tony Stark trust can Doctor Strange trust Spider-Woman? You know, like the like, can any of these people trust each other? But then when you sort of get further out, where it's like Daredevil isn't in the strictest sense an Avengers, you know, he's not in the Avengers bubble. So like when you're already sort of a little further out, does that, like when Logan goes back to the X-Men, are the X-Men, can he trust them either? And I think that's the Echo Daredevil did a great job of keying that up, because it wasn't someone more directly in her own, you know, in this little group. Did the X-Men didn't really participate in this, did they?
They had a like required 3-issue tie-in that I think all the main books had, but theirs was stupid. I think theirs was a kind of reaction to an invasion event. It wasn't a
Like deep infiltration.
Yeah, it was like I think they were in San Francisco. It was that.
Oh, was that Manifest Destiny?
Yeah, I think they were in San Francisco, and there was just like them fighting off Skrulls or something.
Yeah.
Because not to go into the event, which we'll cover, but we can talk about like what I thought we were going to get, or what I wanted, which again is like the nerdiest conversation, but I wanted that. I wanted like the infiltration. I wanted that to be kind of the coverage, and then also kind of the fights within that. I didn't foresee big battles in New York City and two teams standing at like, and I think that is what it boils down to later, but like what I kind of thought was it was going to be like a slow burn, which I don't know why I thought that, because that's not going to happen.
Well, because everything up to here is slow burn.
Yeah.
And then it goes from like that to like.
Yeah, it feels weird, because, and this isn't anything that happens in that first issue, but like, so you have the reveal of Elektra, which, like, obviously is not something that's planned on the Skrulls' part or whatever. So they're kind of, I guess, on their back feet at that point. But it doesn't seem like there's like a precedent for them kind of pushing the invasion. Like, oh, I don't see the inciting event outside of finding Elektra. Well, I guess it is Mr. Fantastic saying he wants the body so he can figure out, which he ultimately does, I guess. But I guess that would be their need to kind of ramp up a timeline, which at that point then kind of ramps up the story to a more standard superhero affair.
Yeah, I would say not to jump ahead. But I think the invasion, the strike works. Like I feel like even if they had to rush the timeline because like the cat was out of the bag as far as there are Skrulls among us, but even on an accelerated timeline, they are very effective. So I kind of feel like if it hadn't been pushed up by maybe a month or two because of this reveal, like it was obviously very close because they were very, very effective at what they did. In fact, I kind of feel like we'll save that for the episode. But I do think that like the first half of Secret Invasion, it's difficult to imagine how they get out of it.
Yeah. I don't know why I hate it because like I read these books and even like rereading this like prelude, I got excited and it like put me in the mindset I was in. But like so I hate like saying, oh, I don't know why so and so did this, but like that issue, I think if it's not 32, I think it might be 32. The one where they're on the plane ride back.
Yeah.
It's so great. Like it establishes so much tone. I mean, the interesting thing about it too is like Skrulls aren't really like I don't say well known, but like that's not something a lot of the characters don't see it as a huge, like Spider-Man can't really wrap his head around why this would be, you know, it is interesting because as you read it, like Bendis is writing the conversation you have in your head is like,
yeah,
this is only one Skrull. Does this, you know, this could just be alone. I mean, you have Morrison has, you know, there's three cows somewhere who are Skrulls. Like, so like there's that argument like, oh, like, is this something we even have to worry about? So like at that point there's like seeds of distrust among them, but not necessarily like the need for this like heightened event. And then the only one who wants to heighten it is Spider-Woman.
Oh, like, I wonder why.
But like my thought is like why, like by going to Tony Stark, it's that point he goes to the Illuminati, and that's like the kind of inciting event that really amps up the like actual invasion.
Yeah. Well, I will say, I think that's good plotting. I think on both counts, because yeah. I think by having Spider-Woman sort of behave in this way that like by having the fan favorite behave in a way that makes them slightly suspicious, you kind of like, oh, that's a red herring. It's obviously not going to be her. So it sort of protects your reveal, you know, like right. You would maybe think like, oh, you know who I bet it wouldn't be? I bet it wouldn't be Spider-Woman because she's everyone's favorite. And then like, oh, but that's of course who you make it. But then you're like, no. And now she's doing crazy stuff. Obviously it's not her. So I think hats off, the perfect choice. I was deeply hurt and wounded and had trust issues for years after that. But I will say Bendis, you made the right choice. But her taking it to Tony, I don't quite understand, but taking it to Black Bolt is the way, like the plan is Black Bolt kills them and takes the body back and then nobody knows. So it kind sure. of like, it's a, I think it works within the framework of the story that they're trying to tell. Like, it doesn't seem like it's a gaffe on her part now that we know, once we know that she is the orchestrator and she has to do something. You know, like, I think it's watertight for me. I don't think that that's like a plot hole.
Right. I don't think I thought of it's a failure on the part that Black Bolt Skrull doesn't succeed. Like if he succeeded, which is what they wanted.
Yeah. And every reason to think
they would all be dead and no one would know anything. I mean, up to Tony exploding small nukes.
Like, yeah. They would have, if they had not, like he says, I don't think they know that I can do this, and now they do. If they hadn't had that sort of like ace in his hand, I think things might have gone differently for at least.
Yeah, because I like those two issues because both the one and five, because they just show off like how inept like Charles Xavier is at a superhero. Like, he's fucking useless in those issues. Like, but Yeah, I don't think I thought of it in that way. I think that is an interesting point. And I do think the making her so obvious, like when I was reading it, I don't ever think I thought she was a Skrull, but going back and reading it, that issue where the plane crashes, and there's the Skrull laying on the ground, and you see her shoot, was it Luke Cage?
Oh yeah.
I was like, oh, they revealed that early that she's a Skrull, and I was like, oh no, she wants to take him to that, and I was like, oh shit, like that is like, it's such an obvious thing that it ultimately is like, no, like that, you know, she's not a Skrull, like why would that be? That would be shitty writing, and it's actually really good writing, I think.
Yeah, no, it's Olympic level. I know that we keep saying this. I think I'm of completely the same mind. I think up until the first half of this, I love, and then the second half, it's not that I don't like. I think it's still a satisfying story, but it's just, it's such a more interesting story than, you know, the sort of like another epic alien battle in New York, which it's just another Friday in the Marvel universe. But for that reason, I think to tie it up that way is because I think like ultimately the military force of the Skrulls and the, you know, of the combined Earth force, those two people fighting each other, it's just another sort of like, it's just another sort of like space war story. You know, it's Avengers 1. But this sort of like infiltration from within, and the thing that they sort of are hinting at, which is that by removing key elements and by manipulating the puppet strings, you get what you want in a more effective and bloodless way. That's just such a more interesting story. And then I will say, I'll say that for the next one.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, I think it's something I think we'll obviously talk about a lot is there's a symptom of event comics. And yeah. I think this is kind of the precursor to a lot of them. I mean, there's always been a lot, but the ultimate symptom of the buildup and, we can't really actually do any sort of change because, you know, we have readers. But I think this is one of the most effective or at least well-deserved buildups to an event, because a lot of times they're just either like, oh, hey, we're doing, I don't know, Civil War II, and we're going to kind of ham-fist our way to that. But I think like even Civil War, you had kind of, they touched a little on like how that could come post-Secret War, like Fury's failed invasion of, was it Latveria? Or
I think it is. That one's further back for me, I apologize.
But like outside of that, it's kind of a little bit of that, and then obviously the New Warriors inciting incident, like, and then they just kind of go those ways. But like it's more like a, you know, it's an interesting idea. But like to have something that builds up for a year and is really good. I mean, even like the marketing for this was really great, which I don't normally like. I really liked the like Skrull ads. They had a commercial. They had a commercial at one point, which was fucking great. And like again, talking about kind of where we wanted things to go, I was really hoping that they succeeded. And it was a like Red Dawn. Let's take things back for a bit. And even kind of where Dark Reign goes, like I would have loved to sit in a villain's world for like, you know, almost like 2 years. Like, let's see where this goes versus like, we got to get out of this as quick as we can. Get back to like status quo. So I kind of like, I thought they did a really good job of setting up possibilities, again, with like who could be one. I think all the reveals are, I think the main ones are well earned, and we'll cover them. But
I think all the main, I think every reveal is good. I think there are a couple of things that are very obvious, like this helps a writer fix a problem, like you were saying earlier. It helps a writer fix certain problems, it helps a writer bring characters that we like back. we'll get into that basket of goodies later. But I will, like, so for where we are now, I think we're caught up. Once Black Bolt has announced himself, we sort of effectively, the next turn of the story is Secret Invasion number one. There's some side stuff going on in Captain Marvel, which we discussed, but I think we're also up to date on that. They're trying to get Carol, but don't completely achieve
it. Yeah, they don't succeed, yeah.
Yeah. they do kill her boyfriend, which is, you know, everyone jumps on Green Lantern, but Carol's just as bad. And then, so like for the all the sort of infiltration stuff, was there anything else?
No, I'm looking at, I think the Marvel timeline is
a little,
they cover the main stuff. There's like the Savage Land stuff with Kazar, but that's in New Avengers as well.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of, I think the other big thing is the Fury stuff.
Because that is in Captain Marvel 2, right?
Yeah. And he kind of, because I think the interesting thing with him is he sends Jessica Drew to, I don't remember. I know like he was working with her at some point on something. So whether or not he knew, but I don't know. As a huge Nick Fury fan, I was very excited that this was kind of a like awesome event for him and to come out, and I was like ready. I was ready for him to take it back. It's not work out.
Bad news for you, sir. Yeah. So I would say, like, at this point in the story in real time, this is great. I think we're starting to see, like you were talking about the marketing, it's starting to look like, oh wow, this is like, it's a thing. It's a thing, and they're committing to it. Like you had said, I think events were built around, I think DC has done a terrible job with events after having maybe done the best one with Crisis, and then everything after that has been a series of disasters. I think bar none, I might be wrong.
Yeah, well, I think Marvel does the opposite and they fail in the other ways, but like DC seems to try and build events around a character or a group and then out. So like the one I enjoy, I'm trying to think of recently, is maybe Blackest Night is probably the closest, but that's more just like a like horror story set within DC, but it's not like a, you know, a like earth-changing event like they did with Infinite Crisis or anything like that. I mean, they try the Crisis stuff all the time, which they either do like big stuff or then they do like Identity, which is what it is.
Yeah. I would know.
I enjoy Identity, but I think it's a fit.
I think it's a weird, I think if Identity Crisis had run like in issues like 12 through 17 of Justice League, you'd be like, wow, that was really good. I think as an event, it sort of,
yeah,
it magnifies too small the stakes of something. And then that's for another episode. But I will say that, no, I'm sorry, this is a slam on them. I don't need to slam anybody. Everybody's doing good. These events, obviously people love them. So they keep doing them because we love them. So we have only ourselves to blame. But I think event fatigue is real. And I think like a lot of events on the, just like when you sort of get a whiff of what's coming, you know, you're like, oh no. And Secret Invasion just wasn't that. Like it wasn't sort of like I think it was like, this seems fun and fresh. And I think the direction that the Marvel Universe was going in, like it seems like a huge swerve to be like, it's Skrulls. Like that just didn't seem like it was in the plan, even though it seemed to have been. And was such a delight because it was also Skrulls in a very non-corny way. Like you know, like I think they just had done such a good job of setting the table. And I think in that sort of like, do events work or not? Is Secret Invasion the best one? I don't know. I like House of M. It's hard to say, but I would say that I think they're both pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think Secret Invasion was one where, at least for the events outside of kind of the Avengers titles, everyone participated, but it was within those like. I like when they do those like three issue like things where it doesn't really affect, like usually it's not even the same writer. It's like a B team writing these three things. And like, you know, they may make good stuff, and that's something we've talked about a lot. Is like I enjoy when people like, you know, having to write an event tie-in isn't an excuse for writing a bad story. Like if anything, that should be an excuse for like doing something different and cool. But at the same time, like, I like when it doesn't, you know, if you're a writer who's, you know, building this, like, you know, 12 issue arc, and all of a sudden you got to write one issue where like that, I can see being difficult to make it interesting when it's really throwing off your stuff. But like, so having like, you know, these tie-in series is a lot better, I think, because it's not disrupting it. But at the same time, I like, it is like that syndrome where like, you know, events like, oh, I don't want an event all the time. It's going to ruin my stuff. But at the same time, I read comics because it's this like, or at least I read the big two because it's a large interconnected world of superheroes. And I like that all that stuff deals with each other. And like, you know, Spider-Man can be swinging down the street and see Wolverine. And like, I like that shit. So I obviously want events that are going to affect everything. So, I mean, like I want, obviously, like I want everything, but I don't want everything because.
Like 10 and 15 years into the game, you want it to be something that's sort of fun and fresh and makes sense, and isn't just sort of another like, oh, this villain is now superpowered, and now Apocalypse is a problem, or now da, 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 you know, like, and I think that that's like, I think it was just super, super fresh. Like it was just, it was a real fresh take.
I was thinking old characters. That Simpsons episode where they're test screening the Itchy and Scratchy, you know that?
Is that the one where she gets them banned?
No, it's the one where they're like, I think it's the one where they come up with Poochie, and it's
right.
The idea that they're asking the kids what they want, and they're like, so you want like a grounded, down to earth, real like problems that you deal with story, and they're like, yes. Now, who would want like Itchy and Scratchy to go on like crazy adventures and like detach from reality? And they all raise their hands again. And then like the guy's like, so you want this, but you also want this? And they're like, yes. Like, okay. Like, I feel like that's how I am with comics, but I don't know. That's not my problem. Like you figure that out if you want my money. But leading up to, I don't think, obviously, like, I would have loved it to like been a 2-year infiltration, but it's not feasible. So I think given what they were doing, I think this was like an A+. I don't think you could have done it better at that
point. Yeah. I think all said and done. Yeah. Story A+. It's the wishing it was longer. It's just wishing it was more of it. Like,
It's like, it's good. I want more of it.
And also, I mean, it does tease. I think, although I don't know, because I feel like to a certain degree, I think Krakoa is the realization is we're going to do something that upsets the status quo, and you have to kind of roll with it, and we're not going to change it back in 6 months, and you just have to, you know, like, sorry, Avengers, you just have to work around this for the indefinite future. So like, I think they're maybe getting to I think as editorial gets maybe a more of a handle on how these books are run, you know, that becomes more and more possible. Also, as they get more siloed, you know, you have less interaction between the two.
And it's also a thing like, so Secret Invasion is probably the last time with Marvel outside of Secret. Oh, there's so many secrets. Secret Wars.
I know, right?
Is that it? Hickman?
Yeah, Secret Wars. That's a little later.
Yeah, but so like outside of Secret Invasion is like kind of like Bendis essentially like running the show for like Marvel. Like this is a Bendis event. I mean, the omnibus is called Secret Invasion by Brian Michael Bendis, and it's like, because he's writing Avengers, he's writing Mighty Avengers, and he really like this is kind of his thing, which is interesting in itself, and like it says a lot. But kind of same with Secret Wars, and now with Krakoa, and like even like DC doing it with Johns and Morrison, like the idea that like events being this like realm for these top tier talents to really tell a story for the whole universe, which in itself is interesting. And I think kind of where they succeed and fail, but
yeah, I think that's
I think for the most part this is a success.
Morrison is a fun example because although I love their individual work, I think their events are terrible. I think the Final Crisis, one with the New Gods. There's gangbusters ideas in there, like the sort of like the noir mystery over a deicide is like on paper crackling. But then when you have Superman transferring the individual data of all of humanity from this sort of 3D simulation into the real world, which is typical Morrison stuff. Like, you're like, this isn't hit the spot either.
Yeah. Yeah. That's rain. And again, that's like could this work as a story within Justice League or within self-contained elsewhere? Like saying Identity Crisis should have been, you know, just an arc is exactly that. Like Tower of Babel, like people think of it as an event, but it's an arc within, you know, Wade's run on Justice League. So very much that. So it's interesting to see where some of the events are really just like the playground for writers, where that succeeds and fails sometime. But
So
next time we'll cover the events and then kind of the main two issue or main two series that weave in between and out of that. Because that was another interesting thing is that those were like essential. Like you can read Secret Invasion 1-8 and it'd be something, but like if you weren't reading Avengers and Mighty Avengers, like you were missing out on some reveals. And I think on something we'll cover, so I think they do a really good job of those being the arcs where they show how things happened, whether or not Bendis really pulls off that he's been doing it all along. I don't think that's the case, but those were where they were like, you know, here's how we got to there, which I thought was interesting because like you don't have to waste that info dump in the main arc, but we'll see how that works.
Yeah, no, true. But I think the Spider-Woman reveal was in Avengers, wasn't it? It wasn't the, so you had to like, you got was the, it? I might have that wrong. We'll find out. Tune in. Tune in for the next app.
Yeah. I know issue one has the big reveal that surprised me. One of my favorite pages, the guy exploded all over the place. I love that page. That will be our next episode of, I don't know, is this an incantation? I can't think of the word. It's not an incantation, that's magic.
And we can do that too.
A subset of greatest comic book of all time, whatever. We do whatever we want.
Incarnation,
that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, because it's the greatest. It's still the greatest comic book of all time.
Yeah, that's true.
And we did read it this week.
We did read it this week. It falls within our parameters.
And then maybe depending on how this goes, like I don't know. Did you finally get the War? X of Swords.
No, it's on. It's coming soon. It's coming. I think by the time we finish this, I'll have it. Yeah. That was another. I'm like an old lady now with like shopping hacks. I found out when Target does those, they do like buy two get one free for like books, movies, and games.
Oh, right.
So they had it. I think they had it listed for, it was cheaper. Like you could pre-order X of Swords for, I don't know, $60 or something. So what you do is you buy three copies of X of Swords, you cancel two of them, and the way their system works is they don't give you the one copy for free. They discount all three things you buy 33%.
Oh.
So if you cancel the two, you get the one copy at 33%. So I paid like $45 for it.
Holy shit. That's great.
So I'm like an old lady on fucking games. I got my honey loaded. I got all that shit.
Honey sent me they're like, you're 600 points away from having a $10 coupon.
Oh yeah.
And boy, talk about thanks Nana for the $10 check.
Yeah, I'm not getting those honey things. I don't understand. Like I use that for the coupons, but I'm never getting those points.
Whatever. No, it's so ridiculous. Because I was also like, I mean, it's automated through the Chrome, so I don't have to worry about it. But I'm like, if I'm only at 400 now, I feel like,
oh, yeah.
How hard is it to accrue these things? Jeez.
Yeah. It's best for the, like, getting Domino's coupons is pretty much the only thing I've used it for.
No, it's always nice to just run it through and say, like, hey, I'll take 15%.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not hurt. It's probably just selling my data, but that's fine. I don't care. At this
point. So when do you want to shoot for the Secret Wars? Or sorry, Secret Invasion. Boy, now I'm doing it.
Should we do not next, but the font? Because what, we got to read 8? I would say at least 15 issues. I think ish.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And I went heavy on this one. I actually I dug out into a couple of the other ones because I read ahead on the Inhumans and one of the other ones just because I was like, oh yeah, I like this. And then I had marked to read the What If because I thought maybe it's neat. Oh, and then I read on. I did a dive on the Thrill Kill or the Krull Kill Cult, which dips in. Yeah, the Skrull people who ate the Skrull infected meat and became Skrull killers.
Yeah.
Which I liked, and I think they introduced the 3D man, and the 3D man is able to see Skrulls.
And yeah, that story's like almost like a They Live.
Yeah, I feel like it's the outer scaries of the story, and it should have been the main reason. Like that should have been how they could track they cracked the Skrull identity. But we'll get to,